Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in on this bright, sunshiny,
little irony there.
Not hardly this morning. We've been having rain here for a day or two, but now we're nice and dry in here, fairly comfortable in here today. You're in the old historic Clay County Courthouse in the corner office here, and we're very, very pleased once again to be coming to you live and in living color here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, as we do each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock, with a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock and streaming on the Del Hall Horizon newspaper side. So we've got all kinds of places where you can listen to the show live and then later or whenever you want to. So we've pretty well got all the bases covered on how to listen to us. But the biggest thing is, if you're enjoying this, get on your communication device and let your neighbors know that we're on and to tune us in. And we've got a great show today, beginning with Miss Melissa White. We're going to be talking a little bit about the sesquicentennial celebration coming up. And we may wander off on some other things, as we sometimes occasionally do. And then the second half of the show, Mr. Bill Moulton's coming in. Hadn't had him on for a while. He'll be filling us in on some of the goings-on with the Tennessee Wildlife Group, which he's a major part of. And we'll be taking care of that. And we've got some announcements to make about some activities going on here in Salina this weekend and some of the things been going on all week. And with that, we'll catch our breath, come back, and get started officially just after we work in a few words from our sponsors that make this possible, along with the Three Star Committee and the Clay Chamber. But with that, let's take a little short break, and we'll be right back.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Welcome back, everyone. I think, Melissa, before we start talking about some of the business with the sesquicentennial, we've got want to remind, of course, folks that we'll be doing our birthdays and anniversaries about halfway through the show. And we've got a short list today. Now, folks, if you want your name on this list, you're going to have to call in to 243-5574. I realize sometimes you get busy in the summertime with all the activities going on, but most of you walk around with one of those things stuck in your ear anyway. So just go ahead and dial us up and call in and wish someone a happy birthday. And let's see, going on here in Salina right now, we've got a major cleanup going on here in Salina.
It looks great on social media.
The New Merchants Association, they are started it, I think, on Monday before all the rain started. We had the business owners out of cleaning the fronts of their stores, and then we've got the city workers involved now. People are out. We're pressure washing the streets, the sidewalks. We're kind of shaping the place up. And that is all coming up before a big event they've got coming up this weekend.
It's exciting, sounds like to me.
I think it's the Summer Fest, and they're having it this Friday night on June the 21st. And I've got a little flyer here, and there's one, I guess, one act coming in. I don't know who he is. It's Freaky Dave is his name. I don't know who he is or what he does. Unless you have any idea.
I've heard of Freaky Dave, but to be honest, I don't know much about him either. We need another expert on him.
Well, he's coming in from 6 to 8, and it says come and watch him in action from 6 to 8. I'm sure he's got a great show. But also going on, around the square, they've got going to have a dunking booth set up. They're going to have the jail set up where you can get put in jail, I guess, and then pay your way out, or people come by and maybe try to buy you out or something or other. And then there's an auction going on. Food, I think the food merchants here around the square are going to be open. Got some specials where they're going to be serving up some specials during that period of time. And just a whole bunch of activities going on here in the downtown historic Salina, Tennessee.
And it's not going to be raining that night, is it?
No, I think it's supposed to clear out here just in time for us. And I think during this whole period of time we'll have the Maxfield group in here called Jagged Journey, some of our local folks that are going to be providing some music, I think maybe the whole time from about 6 to 10 p.m. off and on. So we've got a whole big bunch of things going on. And, of course, it is going to be family-friendly. And just, get everyone out, come in. And all the local stores around the square are going to be having special sales. I know we've got a bunch of the stores kind of anchor the downtown here, and they're going to remain open and come in and check out the bargains they've got set up for all you folks that come in for this big summer fest. And hopefully this is the beginning of the first of these that will be. They'll continue working on this, and it'll get bigger and better every year.
Sounds fantastic.
And they've got a bunch of sponsors that help sponsor this, and you can get all this information when you show up here a Friday night. And let's see, what else have we got here today? Oh, you want to do maybe three or four little history things?
Sure, let's see if you can stump me like you usually can.
This one's easy. For anyone, 1840, Samuel F.B. Morse patented one of his inventions.
Yes, the telegraph.
The telegraph.
Yeah.
And I remember once, one of my history questions, I had a little ID down there about what the Morse code was. And one of my students responded very quickly with three little things on his paper, dot, dash, dot. And I counted that correct. And then in 1867, President Andrew Johnson on this day announced the purchase of a great big bunch of land that we got for about 2 cents an acre.
Was that the Alaska purchase?
That was the Alaska purchase. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was known as a folly for a long time.
Seward's folly, yes. Yeah,
we wasted all them 2 cents an acre on that place up there called Alaska. And we probably got nearly that much gold back out of it a few years later, didn't we? And now I know you've heard of this one, too. In 1893, Lizzie Borden was acquitted of something.
Oh, my goodness, of killing her parents?
Yes, with a...
An axe?
With an axe. I think there was a little poem about Lizzie chop, chop, chopping and did away with her folks. And that's one of the most infamous and one of the well-known murders that ever happened in this country.
It was unusual for ladies to be known for doing that at the time.
Yes. And in 1948, there was a television show that premiered on CBS TV. And this is the same show that introduced this country to the mopeds.
Now, I don't know about that, Mr. Watson. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you do, too. At the Ed Sullivan Show.
Well, then I should have known.
And the mopeds were?
I'm not sure.
The Beatles.
Oh, that's in the 60s. I thought you were talking about something in the 40s.
No, that kind of leads you to give you a hint or two to get you to...
Sorry, I'm aware the mopeds might be the Beatles.
Yes. And I think he remained on TV maybe up until the 70s. one of the
That's why I barely remember him.
You barely have memory back when you were like 6 months old or so.
Something like that.
And then I think this is kind of neat here. In 1960, a cartoon show was given the first animated program award, an Emmy.
I didn't know that.
A Hanna-Barbera cartoon, Huckleberry Hound Show.
Mm-hmm. A fantastic show.
Yes. And did you watch that?
Reruns.
Well, 1960, that's a little bit before your time. But that's kind of a couple of interesting things that happened on this day in history. There are all kinds of things. Now, if you ever wanted to just go online and do a little search on this day, I think it's the thing you use, and you get all kinds of useless information to store away in your brain cells to take the place of something useful. But it comes in handy maybe if you ever get on Jeopardy and you win you a couple of $1 million by knowing all of this useless information.
Some people do that.
Yes. All right, now we've got all that taken care of, and you'll take another little short break, and then we'll come back and talk till we get tired. Okay, let's take a little short break. We'll be back just in a second.
Tri-County Electric offers our members free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise. We'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. It's great to be here, like I said, once again on this Thursday morning. I'd like to, of course, thank Kevin Donaldson for substituting for me last week while I was able to slip off for a couple, 3 days of R&R, and really appreciate him helping out. But it's great to be back. It's good to be sitting here once again with our morning's guest. And beginning with, I said, Ms. Melissa White is here with me this morning. And we are, she is in charge of the sesquicentennial program. And there's a number of us that are on various committees. And I'll let her talk a little while. And if she runs anything where she needs any help, I'll get on the phone and see if I can find somebody that knows something about it.
Well, everyone needs help, and I'm not in charge of that, Mr. Watson, but I am chairing the committee that is putting it together, organizing it, and you're on that committee, as you know. And we do have a pretty active historic preservation committee, and our main goal right now is to make sure that a year from now, our sesquicentennial celebration is a success. And if you haven't marked your calendars yet, please mark your calendars for the major celebration event that we have going on next June. It's June 13th through June 20th. That's literally a year from now. So we would like you to note that Saturday to Saturday. So that'll be a two-weekend event and filled with lots of entertainment and lots of history and just lots of fun for everybody to get involved. We also want you to remember that huge celebration, that Saturday to Saturday celebration, it's not the only thing we're going to be doing. We're going to have exhibits and other activities throughout the year, and we have 26 subcommittees right now set up, chaired by members of our Historic Preservation Committee, and each of those committees is still planning. So look by the end of this year for a very in-depth brochure and lots of advertisement about exactly what will be going on every minute of 2020 as we celebrate Clay County's 150-year anniversary.
And we're getting ready. The plans are being made to have our website up and going here within the next 4 weeks, since it's now 1 year away, so it's time to really get active and getting stuff up and getting the publicity out, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, of course, Thomas is the one who's going to do that website for us, since he is an expert and is involved in our sesquicentennial. But we would remind you that in the meantime, we have all kinds of information at the Chamber of Commerce in Salina. We have all kinds of information on our Facebook page, which is Clay County, Tennessee Sesquicentennial 2020. If you haven't checked out the Facebook page, please do so. We post historic items on there as well as information that you need to know about the celebration.
And we're getting ready to place an order for some more of our commemorative knives.
We're happy to know that we're out, so we need to get some more.
We have now sold the first two orders, and they will remain at $75 a knife for this order. So make sure you get those. Now, these are going to be a limited edition. They're not numbered, but they will be limited because just as soon as the sesquicentennial celebration is over.
It's over.
It's over. Mm-hmm. And the knives will be over, and then we will know exactly how many will be in that numbered sequence.
Right, and you can celebrate when you have one. I value mine already.
I know we've sold quite a few of them, and we're hopeful to sell the next order out here in the next little bit.
And I just remind you, too, please, we have lots of wonderful volunteers. Some of you have been on our volunteer list for a year now. And if you haven't heard from your chair of the subcommittee for which you volunteered, don't give up hope. Those people will contact you. And we need another 50 volunteers or more. So if you'd like to volunteer, again, the volunteer form is on our Facebook page, or you can pick up a hard copy at the chamber.
Okay. Now, and some of the activities that are being planned, Melissa, you got something before that you want to talk about?
No, I'll talk about that. That's fine. Right now, the big push and the most active subcommittee is the genealogy subcommittee. In addition to myself, we have Peggy Davis, Lisa Davis, Leah Savage, Sandy Norris, and Ruth Brewer on that committee. Everybody's working really hard on our two projects going on for that particular committee. The first one is a family tree book project where anybody who's ever lived in Clay County, whether it's for 5 minutes or 50 years, is eligible, of course, to submit your family tree. It's just your name, your ancestors' names, and brothers and sisters of those ancestors. No dates, no places. That's very simple to fill out, actually, and we're always ready to help. If you'd like to do that, please get a copy of that from our Facebook page or from the Chamber of Commerce. Or you can even talk to anybody on the committee, and we have copies available for you as well. That is a free submission, and the deadline for that is December of this year so that we can publish that book to be available for sale next year during the celebration. We also have a First Families of Clay County certificate that we're offering, and anyone who can prove that they are directly descended from one of the pioneer ancestors of Clay County, somebody who was here by 1880, the first census of the county, is eligible to apply for that. And not only do you get the certificate, but you're honoring your ancestor when you do that. There is a $15 fee for that, and that, of course, covers any cost to produce the certificate, as well as give us just a little bit of fundraising for our sesquicentennial celebrations.
Okay, and we are a, in the truest sense of the word, nonprofit, aren't we?
We are, and we're in the business, or in the process, I should say, of making that official by becoming a 501c3 organization. So we will be also looking for donations. You know that's coming down the line for this sesquicentennial celebration. We'll have more about that in about a month, and anything that anybody donates will be tax deductible because we will be a nonprofit by that time.
And, you know, and just sitting here, the thought that just hit me was, you know, once the sesquicentennial is over, this historic preservation of Clay County doesn't stop at 150 years.
It never stops.
And, you know, that's something that we'd hope that this will spark a lot of people to really get interested or reinterested in some of the historical facts and things here in and around Clay County.
We want everyone to get involved. The last couple of times, that we've spoken on the radio together, Thomas, we've emphasized how every single person needs to get involved and know your heritage. Again, whether you've been here a long time or just not very long, you need to understand where we come from around here and just exactly the contributions that we've made and just what makes our community unique so that all of us enjoy living here. And that's one of the things that this sesquicentennial celebration can do, and also historic preservation in general.
Okay, and looking back over the years, I know some of the things that we have discussed at our meetings, and one of which is the forgotten communities here in Clay County, or some of our local communities that are still have the name, but a lot of the history been really not necessarily forgotten, but maybe ignored. And that's one of the projects I know we're looking at, is trying to find some evidences of these communities that existed throughout this county throughout this 150 years.
Yes, that's why it's so important for everybody to get in those old trunks or boxes that you have in the attic or in Grandma's house and find the documents and the photos that relate to your family and the small communities where your families lived. And let us help you preserve those by digitizing those so everybody can enjoy them and give us permission to put them in our exhibits. That would be a wonderful way for your family and your community. Here at the courthouse next year, throughout the year, you can expect to see community exhibits and artifact exhibits that will alternate, probably change every 2 to 3 weeks. We'll know more about that as we schedule it, but we can't do that unless everyone gets involved.
And, you know, we... over this period of time, I know some of the things that hit my mind sometimes, I guess, I don't know how they slip in there, but sometimes, you know, little things like general stores that used to be here in Clay County. I mean, you know, we sit down and we start thinking just the ones that my generation who grew up and became semi-adult along about 1960-something, and we can look around and remember all the general stores that were here then, and then you go back another 100 years, and there still had to be those, and there are people that still have some memories of those hopefully around and some ideas where those things were located, and we've kind of talked about something, maybe some type of little mimeographed booklet or something to give a history of those things.
We're going to have all kinds of publications. We can't tell you exactly what those will be except the official commemorative brochure for next year. But we're looking, that's why we ask everyone to get involved. We're looking for any kind of information that can help us remember any part of our history. Nothing is too small, okay? We would like to know about anything that you have of interest, anything you want to send us digitally that you've mastered yourself. Can be sent to our email address, and if you have questions about anything regarding the sesquicentennial, you can just email clayhistpres@gmail.com. That's clayhistpres@gmail.com. I'd like to say that I even remember, you know, we tease about how young I am, I'm quite old, but I remember the general stores too, and some of my fondest memories are of Hop Johnson's store. At the beginning of Shanky there, at the intersections of Highway 52 and 53. And what are some of the general stores you can recall, Mr. Watson?
Golly, looking back, I know there was one out at the top of the road going in down to McFarland. There was one, maybe sometime or other, a couple, three in that general area. And best I remember just going up the hill, the old Walker Hill. Mr. Dumas Walker and their brother, Udy Walker was his name. He had a little old store on the side of the road up there. He started up the hill. Going on out that way toward Miles, best I remember, out just the other side of where my parents lived, there was a little store on the left there, just before you get to the New Hope Road on the left, right in that general area there. Going on up through there, of course, the malls, we won't count them as general stores since they were kind of in a community there.
Right.
But there was like 4 or 5 general merchandise stores there in malls, beginning with the Heston family on one end and finishing up with Bill Cherry on the other end. Going on down the road there, there was a general store at the crossroads out at Pine Hill. In that area, there was one at Oak Grove. I mean, they were just all over the county. Really and truly, they were generally within walking distance.
Had to be within 3 miles, probably, right?
Yeah.
Of one another.
That's kind of like our school system was.
Very much like that.
Had to be close enough where the students could walk to school if they had to, and most of them had to. Uphill both ways.
And since Thomas and I are both, don't want to say former, although that's true, we're retired educators. We're very much interested, too, as everyone else would be, in all of the photos or documents that we could find related to all the schools that used to be in the county. At one time or another, you know, there were at least 30-something schools in operation at the same time, but the names of the schools changed and the locations changed from time to time. So there's no telling what you could find, again, if you would go into Grandma's attic.
And I know there's some unusual names of schools here. And one of the most unusual names that I know that is documented, there was a school called the Hong Kong School.
Right, and Buzzard's Roost has always been my favorite. Yes.
I don't know. I wonder what if they had an athletic thing, what their mascot would have
been.
Well,
they probably should have been a buzzard, right?
Or a rooster.
Okay.
We've got offline again.
Surely not.
Let's take a little short break and regather our thoughts. We'll be back just in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life, but there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Welcome back, everyone. Another thought that just hit me here, I think we have our next evening of entertainment lined up here for the courthouse. And it's going to be on Thursday, July the 11th, if I'm correct. I believe that's a Thursday, and it's going to be the Nashwood Duo, which is Chuck and Cynthia Chitwood, who have a repertoire of, golly, hundreds and hundreds of songs that they do of all different types of music, everything from Southern gospel. I don't think he does any rap music or anything, but the great, great duo that has a very, very good, like I said, repertoire of songs that they perform, and they'll be performing up here in the courthouse, and we do have the air conditioning working up there, so it's nice and comfortable, and it will be another free show, so it'll be at 7 o'clock, so come out and join us for that. Melissa, back to you real quick.
Back to me really quick. Just like to thank everyone who have had a part in getting our community meetings for our genealogy projects together and to make those a success, especially those people who made our venues available for those meetings, and for everyone who came out. Not only did we do some genealogy and have a good workshop with that at each location, but we also gathered some oral history and also did some digitization of some photographs and documents. So that was a wonderful success. I'd like to quickly remind you that in the late summer we're going to be back at all those locations. We'll be at Ashlock Church of Christ on August the 17th, Butler's Landing Church of Christ on September 4th, Freehill Rosenwald School Community Center on August the 24th, Hermitage Hill Restaurant on September 21st, Maple Grove Community Center on September 28th, and Moss Church of Christ on September the 7th. So we're looking forward to a larger crowd even on those go-arounds. We want to make sure that we don't leave anyone out on these genealogy projects.
Okay, now can I ask you something, maybe on a little bit of a
sure.
personal side? Melissa, are you working on some type of project with your grandfather where you can document a lot of the things that you guys sit and talk about? Are you somewhere in your mind, is there a book maybe in your mind or some type of something like that you would like to share with folks and talk just a few seconds about?
Well, of course, I talk endlessly about my grandfather, live and on social media, because I think he's a wealth of information and an entertaining gentleman, and I say that without bias. And then with bias, I could say a lot of other things. But he is fond because he's 94, and he has served in this community in a variety of aspects. And he also, you know, is a World War II veteran, and all of that makes for a very interesting biography. The Del Hollow Horizon ran a story about him a few years ago, which was pretty in-depth as far as a newspaper article could be. And, yes, the family encourages me to write items, and I will at some point do that. Right now I just like talking to him.
Right. But I kind of thought maybe that might be somewhere within the old English teacher or creative writing psyche that you still have.
And Grandpa doesn't like to be recorded, though, you see. He likes to talk to me for sure, and anyone else that would listen to him and converse with him. He's a wonderful social person, but he would prefer that I not record him. But he did let me record him just a couple of weeks ago. So that was a wonderful thing.
Okay, well, I guess, Melissa, until we get, what was it they used to say on the old Roy Rogers and Dale Evans show, happy trails to you until we meet again.
I'll see you next Tuesday at the HPC meeting.
Okay, all right. Let's take a little short break, and we've got our other guest out here waiting to come in, and we'll be back with him just in a few minutes.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, everyone. Mr. Bill Moulton just moseyed by today and said the only problem he's had the last few days is trying to stay dry. But before we do that, we've got a short list of birthdays today. We've got this past week, Mr. Jerry Fox celebrated a birthday on the 18th, and this was called in by his family. And then Ms. Savannah Brooke Short is celebrating a birthday, her 10th birthday, and it was called in by her grandma and grandpa, and they'd like to wish her a happy birthday along with her dad, Mr. Ricky Short. And also, Mr. Jerry Fox called in his granddaughter's birthday, Taylor Strong, and I believe they may celebrate on about the same day. So we've got those today, and we'd like to remind everyone, if you want your name on this list and get into the drawing for our birthday cake, anniversary cake, give us a call and we'll get you on here. Well, just as Bill was walking through the door, he and Melissa were talking about that she had seen Bill down around the high school, and they had just a short stab at a conversation that I won't be able to talk about, and that is some maybe not necessarily unusual wildlife, but some different wildlife that have been making this place their home for a few years, you said, Bill?
Yep. Back over at the top of the light pole at the back side of the baseball field, we've had a nesting pair of osprey 6 to 7 years. They've raised every year. I think 1 year we only had one hatch. one hatchling make it. The rest of them, there's been twins at least every year.
So we have those now that are here in the do you have any idea maybe there are others here in the county or in this area?
We do have others in the county and the surrounding counties. Some of our pairs hatchlings are just now, we think, returning to this area along the Cumberland. Of course, they're kind of vying for a territory because we're getting more eagle nests on the river also. We've got one just up near Kettle Creek. And then, of course, everybody knows about the one over on Del Hollow that they have the camera
right.
on. Then we've also got some down by Brimstone, which we've had a pair of eagles nest there for, my goodness, for 25 years.
Years and years.
Yep. But they're still down in the area, even though the original nest, the tree fell off the bluff. They've moved to the other side of the river and been hacked out, or nesting down there. And those landowners down there kind of have been watching to make sure nobody bothers them and that they come every year.
And I can remember forever the one on the road between here and down in Gainesboro, on the right on the river down there, that's been there forever and ever, seems like.
But down at the old factories, yep.
Yeah.
There's still a nesting pair. In fact, that I only saw the one this year, but every year we'll see people come in so they can get the pictures of them out. But, yep, there's a nesting pair there, of osprey also.
Okay, and what's the difference between the osprey and the eagle?
Well, the osprey, of course, it is in a different family
right.
than the eagle.
Are they about the same size comparatively? Or?
They're smaller than the bald eagle.
A little bit smaller.
Of course, the biggest of the eagles that we've seen around here are the golden eagle. You'll know if you ever see
right.
it, because it's the one where they used to have the stories about it carrying off your child and that
right.
kind of thing.
My grandma told me some of those.
Yep. Well, believe it or not, bald eagles are capable of the smaller mammals, including small dogs.
Pigs.
Yep. I have seen...
Piglets.
I've seen one attack a buck deer, and it looked to me like it had every intent of carrying it off. Of course, it didn't, but yeah, they can usually carry off pretty good-sized animal, fish, that type of thing.
Okay, now that we've got to let you talk a while, officially... Sergeant Bill Moulton with the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency. And what that falls under what state auspices, Bill?
We've got our own commission.
Your own commissioner.
And we kind of partner with Department of Agriculture. We're not part of the Department of Agriculture, but we have, it's just the Wildlife Resources Commission. And they've been tasked, as a lot of people know, with enforcing the boating safety laws and rules and regs. We assist TDEC and other groups with the waterway enforcement, including dredging gravel, people clearing land too close and causing erosion issues, fish kills, that type of thing. And then on the other enforcement side, as a lot of people know, they call cat and green jeans or game warden or other four-letter words sometimes, when we enforce the hunting and fishing regulations, which include licenses, creel, and bag limits.
Okay, and I do know if anyone has watched the news the last few days, the word TDEC has come up a number of times,
yes,
hasn't it?
Yes.
And for not a very good reason, but apparently it has, once again, maybe shaken some trees a little bit.
Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, or TDEC, they have so many areas within their organization that they have to regulate and enforce. It's very easy when you get into some of those that include big business or other things like that you can step on toes, and those toes sometimes are connected to other shoes that they can whisper to, and a lot of times it might cause issues. Yeah.
And I know they've had a little thing, the hearing about the thing over Cummins Falls.
Yes.
And I think they're maybe hopefully now going to actually get on the ball and speed all that up and get that taken care of.
Yeah. Under their state parks. Yeah. It's unfortunate because that is a beautiful area.
Absolutely.
And, the park over there, the personnel and TDEC itself, the the state parks, they've tried to put up signs. They've tried to warn people, let them know if there'd been rain in the area, hey, watch the water levels and that type of thing. And that tragic event last week, just unfortunately, sometimes it takes something involving a child before there's so much public outcry that they can get something figured out.
Okay, let me ask you this. I took a walk the other day through Savage Gulf.
Oh, man, that's beautiful.
Well, it looked like there had been a tornado. What, was there a tornado maybe this spring or sometime the last little bit?
Now, I honestly don't know if it was called a tornado. I know that just like around here, we've had wind shears and high winds and a lot of pretty stout weather the last few years. That's what I understand it to be, but now I've not really.
There are hundreds of trees
down in there. It's unfortunate.
And I'm talking about big oak trees that were huge trees that turned up roots more than 6 foot in diameter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing to me to see all those big hardwood and softwood trees that it turned up there. But that is a beautiful walk there. Of course, the waterfall was a water trickle this time of the year. There wasn't a whole lot of waterfalls there.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hid out, and if you like to hike through the woods, beautiful, beautiful woods, just beautiful scenery, that's a great hike to take.
Yeah, it's there are a lot of people that utilize that for that. Recently, we've had to start dealing with, in conjunction with the Bridgestone WMA down there near Savage Gulf, ATV users. They're trying to figure out a way to make it comfortable for both groups. Because, you know, like you said, that's so beautiful. A lot of people like the peacefulness. They don't want to hear or see damage done from them or hear the sound of ATVs running around.
You know, it's kind of neat walking through there where those big trees had fallen down and they had just taken the chainsaw and cut a little block out of them, just wide enough for a couple of people to walk through between the two ends of the trees. Then. But that was a great one. Okay, now, we've got some official things maybe to talk about. Our Wilderness Day Camp Wildlife Resources.
Yep. The Wilderness Day Camp is the Friends of Dale Hollow Fish Hatchery. Worked with our agency specifically when Travis Cowan, he was the officer that started here about 8 years ago. He's now in Jackson County. But he helped start the Wilderness Day Camp, and it's ages basically 5 through 16. We've had it several years. It's a one-day camp. This year it's going to be held July 11th, and I heard Melissa mention she had a July 11th activity date. I don't know what it was, but this will be in the early morning and until at the latest 2 p.m.
I'm having a show upstairs.
Oh, okay. I got you. Good deal. Well, so we won't mess with that.
No. Unless you want to send them down and listen to the music.
Well, we can try and do it, I can tell you. But normally the kids get to come, and there's anywhere from 3 to 6 stations. We'll have everything from BB guns and archery to the kids. In the past, we've had owls, snakes, disgust snakes and owls, bats. A couple years we had a member of the Friends group that would bring his dog and show a lot of different obedience trainings and how intelligent the dog was, and kids really like that. Mr. B has been there every year. Don't know if he's going to make it for us this year, but to discuss boating safety, you know, through the Corps.
Right.
And then we'll do fly fishing, that type of thing, let the kids learn how to do that. But
Mr. Boyce going to take care of that?
Paul Boyce is working on it furiously, yes, and it's I can tell you it's difficult because he used to have a few more helpers, and unfortunately we've lost them the last few years as they got older.
You know, that's one of the skills. I don't know. I enjoy fishing, but I don't know about fly fishing. It seems like that's a lot of work, looks like, sometimes.
It honestly, if you just see it in TV or something like that, it does look like a lot of work. There's a lot of kind of specialty equipment versus the spin cast or that type.
Yeah.
But it truly, we've taught, I don't know how many kids and adults, the neat part about it is everybody sees it and they're on a stream. But we have an abundance of ponds around here and lakes that you can really have a fun time fishing for bluegill and bass with a fly rod. It's a lot different.
And that is probably the most primitive form of fishing that there is, because it's basically just putting a horse fly out on the water and hoping to fish it.
You've got to figure out what aquatic insect or what forage the fish currently are working at and make it look good.
Oh, you mentioned bluegill. I think I saw something the other day that we had a new world record. I mean, has it been verified yet?
If it's been verified, I haven't seen it yet, but I heard a little something about it, and it's a big one.
Is it like 5 pounds or something?
It's huge. And I think part of it is they're trying to make sure it wasn't, you know, you can purchase through co-ops and things a kind of a sterile, so to speak, bluegill that raises in ponds, and people like that larger size. So I don't know if it was that or if it was a truly
natural
occurring, right?
Okay, now I can give me a list here. Is that CWD zone?
CWD zone, yep. I think a lot of people the last few years have heard about chronic wasting disease in our deer herd.
Right.
We currently, the CWD zone is in West Tennessee, and we currently have a total of 8 counties. Now, it's only shown up in 3, which those include Fayette, Hardeman, and Madison County. But the way we're trying to contain this and hopefully get rid of it or keep it from spreading it, any of the counties within 10 miles of a positive CW deer location, and that's where they found one deer, not, you know, just the county, then we're going to include those counties into it to try and manipulate and get rid of those deer to, like I said, establish a zone and keep it from spreading. Those counties include Chester, Haywood, McNary, Shelby, and Tipton. And they've incorporated into this a new kind of a bonus buck type thing for hunters. But, you know, last year we had that 3-day velvet hunt in the state.
Right.
Okay. Well, in that hunt, it was rifle only. In this zone, they're going to allow the hunters to use muzzleloaders and archery both. And that date is 23rd through the 25th of August. And then, you know, going back to some of the other actions they're going to try and take to help remove some of these animals is they've got what they're calling an earn a buck program. And the hunters are entitled to an additional antlered deer in the CWD unit. But they can earn that extra buck by they first have to harvest 2 antlerless deer within the unit and submit both of them for CWD testing. And it doesn't cost them a thing for the CWD testing. Our agency's going to do it. But they can do this a total of twice. So they could kill a total of 4 antlerless deer and get 2 bonus bucks. We had the question about, okay, what if one of these bucks comes back positive for CWD? Well, they're going to give them a replacement buck, which, and that's also during the regular season.
Right.
But if their buck is tested for CWD and comes back positive, then they're going to allow them to take another buck and hope that it doesn't come back CWD positive to take the place of that, because like what we've had for the last couple years, if somebody goes to Kentucky or Indiana or anywhere outside the state now and harvests a cervid, a deer, an elk, something like that, they cannot bring back any membrane on that. They can only bring back the meat, no bones. If they have the antlers, you know, the cape has to be completely removed. And it's unfortunate because a lot of the hunters are having to get that done, taken care of, and leave their antlers at a taxidermist in the state that they hunted, which can be more costly than if they could bring it back here. But the reason they did that is the bones and the marrow and the organs are what contain the prions. Some people call them prions, but the prion, which is kind of a mutated protein, and that's what causes this CWD. I know I'm kind of rambling, but some of y'all have heard of a similar thing to CWD, and that is the BED, or it's a mad cow disease. Now,
okay.
if I've got a moment just to put people at ease, right now they don't know for certain. It doesn't look like CWD transfers to humans, but they do say, let's use caution. Don't eat things like the eyes, spleen, liver. Well, there's one or two more, but it's basically its organs. The meat normally is safe to eat, you know, if you've got a CWD positive deer. But, you know, always, if you question it over in that zone, we're going to do CWD testing on a regular basis if requested by hunters. And then we'll come, there'll be different dates, and okay, we're in different counties, but let's take a break.
All right. We'll do that, work in a few words, and come back. And we still got some stuff to, we're going to speed up a little bit.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's some great information, Bill, and that's one of the reasons I like to have you here, because I know you come in with a list of things you want to talk about, but we get on something that's pretty important.
Yeah.
The CWD is very important to here in Middle Tennessee, any deer hunter, any wildlife hunter.
Yep,
all absolutely. Right, we'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, Bill, next on the list, we got boating. We got some new boating regulations, or?
We don't have any new boating
all
regulations.
Right.
But, yeah, that's what I like, too. I don't have to read up. But it is the boating season now, and we are starting to see more activity, and thankfully, a lot more kids up on the lake. One of the things about boating, though, that I've got to be sure and mention, besides wearing your life jacket when you're underwater, is that anybody born after January of 1989, if they're going to operate a boat, they've got to take that boating safety course. And you know, it's not too bad. We're going to offer a couple of classes. We got one at Mitchell Creek, June the 29th. That's a Saturday. You just have to go and purchase a Type 600. I think it's $10. Carry that with you. Go in. We're going to go over everything, take the test. So it'll be about a 3 to 3.5 hour deal. And then we'll give you a little star on your Type 600 paper. And eventually you will get your card to carry with you. But that would allow you, number one, to learn a lot of the safety issues that are separating a boat. And then number two, it'll lost my train of thought. Anyway, it'll definitely make it safer for you. But I try and have two other courses at the marinas, one at Holly Creek and one at Cedar Hill. They're going to be day, you know, that 3.5 hour course, but they'll be through the week.
Okay, real, who is allowed to operate a boat on Del Hollow Lake?
Okay. It's a loaded question because we do have, unfortunately, in our regulations, and it is for a safety issue, we've got a horsepower limit for those kids that are, 12 and younger. But basically, if you've taken that course and, you're 15 years old and you have your parents' permission to use those vessels and you've taken the class, you can operate a motorboat without an adult being there with you. Now, if you have not taken the class, you can still operate it if somebody 21 or older is there on board, and if they were born after 89, they have to have completed the boating education course. But you could operate it that way, which is the most common thing we see is on the PWCs, wave runners and that type
right.
of thing, mom or dad or aunt or uncle or somebody will climb on behind the youngster and let them operate it like that. But we've got a lot of kids that have taken the course and passed it, and they're out there on their PWCs having a blast, riding their kids around, doing that kind of thing.
So, that's something, too, that within you're in my time, that's become a very, very popular thing. Of course, that
Absolutely.
Is the personal water vehicles. And that, of course, they're all over the lake, and I can't imagine trying to police those things. The headaches that you guys have to make sure that they are being legally operated.
I think there was an initial explosion, and it was something new, and so people weren't used to them, didn't know some of the little quirks about them. But, Thomas, you just wouldn't believe our boating public is, number one, they worry about safety more, a little more educated, and they want everything to be right. When we pull up, they do try to have it. Used to, it wasn't quite that way.
Well, over the years, you total a bunch of years, you remember lots of them, but over the years there have been lots of accidents with those things.
Yeah.
But it seems like in the past few years, we haven't heard very many, very many, knock on wood, very, very many serious accidents with these type of water vehicles. Okay, upcoming events.
Yes, sir.
Well, what we got coming up real quick here?
Our other officers we've got coming up, most of them are in July, but we do have Jaws on the Water. It's that Mitchell Creek movie.
Right.
I don't know yet if they're going to still do it, if it's raining or if they're going to make a rain date, but that is supposed to be this Saturday up at Mitchell Creek. Then we've got a lot of stuff in July. July 11th is at Wilderness Day Camp. We've got Wake Fest over on Center Hill Lake. That starts the 20th of July. We've got the Overton County Fair running the week of the 22nd through the 26th. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, we're working the World NASP in Nashville, and that's the Archery in the Schools. And there's kids coming from Kenya and everywhere. It's unreal.
That's exploding, isn't it?
Huge, huge, huge. Well, and then, there's a group that does the 3D, and they've held things
right.
the last
We've
few years.
Right, we've had here.
That thing is growing for them, and kudos to them for all
Absolutely.
The work they've done to get that going. And then our anti-drug coalition, we've got they've got their annual meeting. We're going to have that set up over at the fairgrounds, and that's the 27th, Saturday the 27th of July. That's a pretty neat thing, too, and we'll be there for that.
And we have covered just about everything on your list. The Friends of Del Hollow Fish Hatchery, they're still active. And
still
right,
active.
Right now the fish hatchery is in good shape with the last bit of legislation.
Yep, knock on wood.
So, knock on wood on that, and looks like we're going to have the fish hatchery around for a long, long time. And, of course, the wildlife website.
We've kind of touched on several things, and I had that on there just so if people want to know about something, they can go to www.tnwildlife.org, and I'm not that IT competent, but it is pretty simple for people to cruise through there and look at different articles, or look up and see about upcoming hunter ed or boater ed classes. Or
all righty. Well, I guess it's time we announce our birthday winner for the day, and today's winner is Savannah Brooke Short. Happy birthday, Savannah. And you can go over by the chamber, pick up your Dairy Queen coupon. And I had a bug in my ear, said it's time to shut the barn doors here. Bill, as always, it's a pleasure having you here.
I appreciate you having me.
And I know, like you said, no new major wildlife laws passed this year, so maybe your job will ease up just a little bit. I know you have lots of things you're involved in now, and I appreciate your time here with us this morning. With that, I guess it's time we do say that, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you again here on WVFB FM 101.5, Kicks Country. And until then, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.